Well, hey, church leaders, welcome to the Slingshot Group podcast. I am Brian Taylor, Slingshot's Vice President of Worship and Creative Arts. And at Slingshot, we are passionate about helping you build remarkable teams through coaching and staffing. And today, I get to host our CEO, Tim Foote, as we have a timely and relevant conversation about quitting. Tim, always great to have a conversation with you.
It's great to talk to you anytime, Brian. It's just good to chat about this and have people listen in.
Absolutely. And this is a big topic today because our team gets the privilege of engaging with thousands of leaders every year who are in transition. And truthfully, some of them are quitting where they're at. And we know that this is a vulnerable time. It's a time where people are asking big questions and they have big feelings. We also know that no matter where you're at in your journey today, at some point, we're going to find ourselves here because transition happens to all of us.
Yeah, Brian, as you said, we have a lot of conversations with a lot of leaders in transition, a lot of churches that are dealing with transition. And we see that, yeah, a lot of leaders quit for the right reasons. God's calling them on. We'll talk about those in a minute. But a lot of leaders quit for the wrong reasons. And so later in this conversation, I want to get to the things that we all should be quitting.
So yeah, Tim, you bring up a good point because not a day goes by really where we're not talking with or reading about someone who's leaving their role or preparing to leave a role in ministry. And sometimes it's to step into another ministry role, but often what we're seeing right now is they're stepping into something entirely different.
Right.
And I know that quitting is not a new thing, but we're seeing a number of people, a record number of people that are quitting right now. So what would you say is going on?
Yeah, the landscape of ministry, Brian, is so different than it's ever been before in this cultural moment. I mean, ministry's become harder in our post-pandemic reality, and a lot of things play into that. A recent Barna article shared that 42% of pastoral leaders specifically have considered quitting this past year. A majority point to the immense stress of the job. Now, it's interesting in our seat because we see a lot of data, right, Ryan? But we also get a lot of anecdotal perspective.
From the conversations we're having.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And we hear things like leaders are lonely and feel isolated, especially senior leaders. They're expected to be experts on everything. Culture right now is so divided and threading that needle is so hard. But then you go deeper into the organization, it's a whole different set of reasons that people are considering transition or considering quitting their leadership role. Things like wanting more flexibility. We'll talk in a moment about the desire for remote work. People are elevating self-care and lifestyle more than they ever have before.
Right.
Leadership void in organizations. There's so many different reasons playing in some ways, and we talked about talked about so much, the candidate crisis. We're now seeing kind of the aftermath of the storm in a way. And just the different narratives we hear are fascinating.
You know, you bring up a good point. With the work that we do, the nature of the work that we do, like I said, we're engaging with people in a very vulnerable and transparent time. We end up being a bit of a safe harbor as they're processing these conversations, trying to figure out what steps to take and the right way to do it. They need help navigating this because though it does come at some point to all of us, none of us are great at it. Right. When these situations come up, transition is tough. Even the best laid plans, as every leader that's transitioned or had someone transition from their team that are listening, they know things get sticky. They get a bit confusing. So one of the things that we want to highlight for leaders today is some of the common things we hear about why leaders may want to transition from their ministry. Well, why are they quitting? Tim, what would you say some of those big points are?
Well, I would start by by highlighting a shift in calling. Mm-hmm. And this is the best when it happens this way, when God makes it super clear in a leader's life that he's calling them to something rather than them running from something. To go to something is so important, to take a new role, to plant a church, to start a nonprofit. We're always listening really carefully when a leader comes to us and says, hey, I feel like a Holy Spirit shift is coming. And I feel like God is calling me to something new. It's like, well, tell us more about that, but also tell us about your current environment, because we want to hear whether or not a leader is running from something. Hmm. And when you talk about safe harbor, Brian, that is such an honor to be safe harbor for so many leaders. But we're also serving churches and kingdom, and we want to see that continue to move forward. I mean, yes, we're needing to, more than ever in this current environment, tell a more beautiful story about what it means to serve on the front line of ministry, because there's a lot of leaders that are moving to marketplace. And so that would lead into the next reason, and it's opportunity. They're looking to grow, take a next step in their career, or have an opportunity to go to their dream job. And so they'll often say, or they want an opportunity to go to their dream job. One of the questions that we'll often ask on a call with a potential candidate, a leader talking to us about transition, is how would you describe the best role for you?
Because ideal scenario.
Yeah, ideal scenario. Let's start with that. You know, I also had a leader come to me just recently that was talking about moving to marketplace and said, please, Tim, give me an honest assessment of whether, if I stay in ministry, I can actually provide for my family.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was a great conversation where I was able to say, absolutely. We're seeing churches make great shifts in looking after their people and working out how to make this a sustainable income for looking after their family. But yeah, there's so many different things that are playing into these conversations. Those are two big ones. But then let's talk about things like location, compensation, and culture. Hmm. They're kind of a big three for us, wouldn't you say, Brian? I'd be interested in your thoughts about this too. But location, I want to be close to family. And you need to be honest about that. You know, I can speak really well about that because of moving to the other side of the world. I mean, I've had some sweeter times with family living away from them, more concentrated times, rather than taking it for granted being close to them. And so sometimes you're able to bring some perspective to that. Or have you thought about talking to your leadership about providing opportunity for you to visit family more often? I mean, leadership will often think creatively out of the bag to keep a leader and to say, hey, you can visit family two or three times a year. And we can even help that happen if we can keep you on our team and help you continue to grow. We say there's always going to be organizations that offer more money and a sunnier zip code. And so you've got to work out where you bring the most value and where you can grow in leadership. Also, compensation. We're seeing that more than ever, right, Brian?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, you said that. And it's my first thing I thought about this conversation I just had with inflation and all the cost of living increases, how many senior leaders are struggling to keep compensation equitable when they're bringing in new leaders compared to the ones that are already on staff. This is a big issue.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, you know, we're talking to a lot of leaders and contextualizing the facts that you need to look at the salary range of your organization, because it's going to cost you more to replace a leader. This is coming from a staffing group. It's going to cost you more to replace a leader. You need to invest in the great leaders you have, because you're going to have an added cost of going out to find leaders as well. And so we're seeing that as a big one. And then culture. They feel like they're in an unhealthy or toxic culture. We talk a lot at Slingshot about the difference between dysfunction and toxicity. There's dysfunction in every single organization. Right. You need to know the difference, right, Brian?
Absolutely. Hmm. Yeah. When that dysfunction kind of descends into something that's giving permission or it's being protected, then you know those are some major warning flags. But a lot of people misinterpret and mislabel dysfunction is toxicity.
Yeah. Often we see leaders not quitting the organization, they're quitting the boss. Hmm. Because leaders leave leaders And if you don't allow your talented leaders to lead in your organization, they will go and lead somewhere else. Mm. A recent Gallup article I read indicated that 50% of people quit their jobs to get away from their manager to improve their overall life at some point in their career. That's something for senior leaders to pay attention to if you're listening today. Identify the talent in your organization and give them new markers to hit. Help them grow. I mean, I had a mentor and coach in my life that said, you won't be doing the same thing in 2 years' time.
Yeah.
Go new places, meet new people. We'll talk about that in a minute. But also leaders allowing opportunity for healthy lifestyle and prioritizing self-care. It goes back to location. Forbes did a study that indicated that nearly 40% of workers said that they would stay at their current company if they offered a remote or hybrid work setup.
Hmm.
Something we've got to catch up to in the church space. And a lot of churches we work with are embracing that and allowing hybrid work days. But I would rather get flexible as a leader. I would rather lead my leaders to flexibility rather than lose them.
A lot of this is a point of friction with convention, right? There are ways that we've operated that just don't work the same way as they used to. And one thing, as you were talking, that was so clear to me is the need for conversation around all of these topics. Oftentimes, leaders or the people that are leading them kind of hold these things in. They keep them to themselves, and then you can't really do anything with it. In fact, that silence, it suffocates any hope of a better future together. And it's not until things erupt where you now have a situation where there's nothing left to manage. It's all been broken down. So even just the conversations and the openness to conversations around these topics, it's so important, right? At some point, all of us are going to find ourselves in a season of transition. All of us are going to have to quit. And statistically, we know that a large percentage of people that are maybe even listening today are currently considering transition at any given time. And so I wonder, what practical advice would you give someone who is asking the question, is it time for me to quit? Is it time for me to go? And they're processing the big feelings and the emotions that come along with such a major decision in their life, Tim.
Yeah, I'd start with a Sunday school answer. And often Sunday school answers, Brian, are the best ones. Talk to Jesus because you want a sense of whether or not he's done with you in this current role. And that plays into a big question that we'll often ask with leaders considering transition or quitting their current role. And that is, are you released? And Brian, you say it best, actually. There's a difference between being released and being restless. Speak to that.
Earlier on, one of our early ministry transitions, this was a question that we got asked. Do you know the difference? And at that point, I said, no, I don't know the difference. We had this stirring. There was something that God was doing. We couldn't figure it out. And we were restless. But that did not mean that God had released us from the assignment. And in fact, for us, what we had to do is walk out obediently the kinds of conversations that we needed to have, the conversations that we're talking about right now with our leaders, to get to the point where we had confirmation that God was sending us to something new. And a lot of times, because of our humanity, we can get restless. We can be in situations and we're right where we need to be, but that stirring happens in us. Sometimes it's avoidance. Sometimes it's conflict that we don't want to engage in. And sometimes it's God preparing us for a new assignment. So it's important for us to take the time to take stock, to measure where we're at with God, where we're at in our emotions, where we're at with our thought process and with the wise counsel that's around us, to know, are we restless? Is God just doing something so we'll pay attention, or is he actually releasing us into what's next?
Yeah, that's good, Brian. Another thing I would suggest, it sounds pretty fundamental, but write down the positives and negatives about whether it's time to leave, or if you did leave, what are the positives and negatives? I was talking to a leader recently who was considering a promotion at another organization. So it would be a higher level of leadership. And that leader then made a list of why they like being where they are and the freedom that being in their current organization affords them and what they get to do as an influencer outside of that organization that they wouldn't be able to do when they stepped into this new leadership role, because there'd be a lot of building that was required. And so it's really important to actually get it on screen or on paper, the positives and the negatives. And you think of tenure at an organization. We always say 10 years, that's worth several thousand dollars in compensation, given the freedom that you get and the trust that you have to do some creative things with your life. So don't underestimate what to have been at a place 5-10 years and then start somewhere new. You want to be really thinking that through. Also, I would use a 10-year filter. In 10 years or at the end of my life, am I always going to wonder what if I hadn't taken this other opportunity or stepped out at that time or at that juncture? So I'd use that filter as well. Another thing that sometimes we'll suggest leaders do is actually write the resignation letter or email.
Tell me about that.
Yeah, write it and file it. I've counseled leaders before, hey, write that resignation letter and send it to me and I'll hold it for you, because that is a great exercise just to try it on. And I've had probably 3 out of 5 of those leaders stay where they were after writing that letter.
Wow.
Because it became real for them. The other 2 out of 5, it was affirming for them and confirming that this was what they needed to do. And then another thing too, you don't want to leave too early. You do not want to miss out on the growth God has for you in this season and your growth as a leader. That is a gift. And in the work that we do, working with so many churches and leaders, we see people leave too early and they miss out, and they take the weaknesses to their next organization with them that they didn't stick around and learn through. I mean, when you stay beyond 5 years, beyond 10 years, beyond 20 years, you grow as a leader in very unique ways. You also grow when you transition too, if it's God-led and he's leading you forward. But you don't want to miss out and leave too early. You don't want to quit the day after Christmas or the day after Easter Sunday.
When all the tensions are high and the tanks are low.
Or on a Monday. You want to quit at the right time. I'd rather work through the tough season and transition when things are healthy and celebrate that and take the learnings with me.
Absolutely. And it is always a blessing, right? When you can be healthy, even if you are transitioning, once you've been able to see some of those things through, you've got the tenure, you've got the time. It's always a great feeling to know that you're leaving on good terms. The sad reality, though, is I think we often see a lot of leaders who are quitting because they're burned out. They're lonely. They're feeling stuck. Some of the things that they wanted to talk about, maybe they haven't had the opportunity to. Tim, how do they navigate that for the leaders that find themselves there? They're listening right now going, man, I don't know how I got here. I don't know how to get out of this place. Or maybe the leaders that are listening, they're trying to avoid getting to that point at all. What should they do?
I'm glad you brought burnout up, Brian, because it's really interesting how many leaders will talk to us and want to talk about what they're looking for, but we'll have to ask questions about, hey, tell me about your current reality, because that's when it's revealed to us that they're actually just exhausted. And starting a new thing isn't the best thing right now. Because here's the deal, Brian, I think everybody listening today should absolutely quit, but not necessarily their ministry job. There's 5 things I think leaders should quit to avoid burning out, because we need healthy, energetic leaders leading churches right now. And here are those things. I think leaders should quit people pleasing and being liked over being helpful. Now, this is coming from a reformed people pleaser and harmonizer. I have learned that people pleasing can get you in way hotter water than just making the call. Leadership is hard, and sometimes you just have to lean in and do what you believe God is leading you to do, and control what things you can and leave the rest to him. And so we need to quit being people pleasers. We also need to quit delaying time off and self-care.
That's a big one.
Yeah, it's a huge one. Your number one stewardship responsibility is not your congregation. It's you. Your number one stewardship responsibility is absolutely you. So you need to be looking for life-giving activities that keep filling your tank. You need to operate in the way that gives you a better quality of life. You know, we'll often talk to leaders who are just done with being in what they see as a toxic situation and don't realize that they're complicit. And we'll often say to those leaders, how about you start operating in a way that's healthy? And if you get fired for it, well, there's your answer.
Yeah.
But if you start thriving, well, then you realize that that was kind of on you.
It's like they're placing the burden of their health on the organization first, as opposed to looking to how they're leading themselves, stewarding themselves.
Absolutely. We know that one of the number one values in attributes in healthy leadership or impactful leaders is self-awareness. Tune into your own telemetry. You might need to look that word up. I needed to when I was told to pay attention to mine. Telemetry, understand what's going on for you and how stress is coming out for you and how your wick might be a little shorter. Like you might be flying off the handle at home or at some of the leaders or volunteers that you work with. Pay attention and quit delaying self-care. And you might think, oh, I'm too busy. Well, that's a bigger issue we should talk about. But you can carve out time in your schedule to do things that bring you life. So quit delaying that. Quit doing this alone. Take responsibility for your circle. We weren't designed to do ministry on our own. And that's why we're seeing a huge increase in cohorts, in local networking, in reaching out to coaches and to mentors. Too many senior leaders, and I'll speak to you directly for a moment, feel like they have to have all the answers. You go to a counselor or a therapist, and they'll often ask you when you're sitting there in their office, how many CEOs, which is sometimes what a lead pastor feels like of a church, how many CEOs sit in my office and think they know what they're doing? Zero. You need to do life with others. Get out, meet new people that are doing what you do.
Yeah, at Slingshot Group, that's why we do coaching and we do cohorts, because we believe that every leader, no matter where you find yourself on a team or in an organization, every leader needs to have somebody in their corner that they can relate to, that they can connect with, that's in the same trenches that they are.
As we place great leaders in remarkable teams, we want to help them continue to be great and healthy leaders. It's all part of it. Also, I would say quit delaying getting better and learning new things. Now, we touched on this a little earlier. I had a mentor and a coach that always say, go new places, learn new things. It causes you to grow. Listen to podcasts, stretch your thinking, go to gatherings that will cause you to think differently about things.
Yeah, this is your self-awareness. Oh, sorry. This is your self-awareness.
Absolutely.
This is your self-awareness applied. What are you learning about yourself and how do you make a difference?
Right.
You know, it's one thing to just know something about yourself. It's a whole different thing to do something about it.
Yeah.
And getting better, learning new things helps you grow.
Brian, there isn't a time that I haven't stepped into a gathering of people I didn't know to learn new things when I haven't learned a ton about myself. And so, yeah, quit delaying getting better and learning new things. We've all got to be getting better at what we do. And then finally, I would say, quit listening to the wrong voices. I mean, we know in ministry the definition of being a leader in ministry is that everybody knows how to do your job better than you do. Right. And so everyone else is going to have an opinion on how to do your job, but you get to choose who you listen to. You know, I remember as a kid, as my parents prepared me for life, they would say, Timmy, you're going to get a lot of opinions in life. You choose which ones to take on board. That's the power that you have. But choose who you listen to. And then sometimes you're the unhelpful voice. Hmm. Sometimes you need to quit listening to yourself, but start talking to yourself. And so that's kind of a contradictory concept. But in challenging times, when you listen to yourself too much, your voice is often not a helpful voice.
Wow.
And so you need to start rehearsing scripture and start rehearsing things that remind you of the leader that you are called to be, that reminds you of the leader that you are designed to be, and reminds you that you are loved, accepted, and you're called to not be anxious. but to lead strongly and confidently. And so I would say that most importantly, listen to God and tune into His Spirit. Our number one state of value at Slingshot in everything we do in our staffing and our coaching is Spirit led, because it's so important to go first to God and seek His guidance in all of this. And we all have those moments where we have to preach to ourselves, right? Right, Brian?
Absolutely. This is a part of what Scripture says, taking our thoughts and making them captive and obedient to Christ. This is a part of it that we don't think about oftentimes. Sometimes the thoughts are going to enter that we need to just flat out reject. Hmm. And like you just said, we need to preach to ourselves and remind ourselves the truth of who God has called us to be and who He says that we are. That is the voice that we need to listen to.
Yeah. So, church leaders, just to recap that, we're calling you to quit today, but not your ministry job. We're calling you to quit pleasing people, quit delaying time off in self-care, quit doing this alone, quit delaying getting better and learning new things, and quit listening to the wrong voices.
Tim, that's so good. And I hope that everybody listening is taking a moment to pause and reflect and choosing from that list, What's one thing that I need to decide to quit today before I get even to the major life decisions? Mm. What are some thoughts that I need to quit? What is some isolation that I need to quit? Putting myself into situations where I'm alone and I'm not speaking up, I'm not having the conversations that I need to have. It's really practical and helpful advice for all of us today, myself included, because wherever we're at in our leadership journey, there are stages of transition that are going to impact each of us. And it's important that we honor what God is doing in the middle of them. Tim, thank you for sharing that. I wonder, do you have a final word of advice for those that are listening today as we're wrapping things up?
Yeah. Our mission at Slingshot is to build remarkable teams. You know, our passion is to bring value to every church and leader that we interact with and work with. Our priority is placing great people on great teams and helping them stay healthy and be healthy. And Brian, you know I love to teach. And so I do have an acronym for you if you want, if it helps you. You want it? Am I going to give it to you?
Bring it.
All right. The word quit, Q, quiet yourself. Listen to what God is saying and lead how He wants you to lead. You unify with others who do what you do. Spend time with others. I initiate new ideas and grow. And T, talk to yourself. Don't listen to yourself. Preach truth to yourself.
Tim, that was great stuff. And it's a powerful reminder for all of us about the things that we need to quit to be the remarkable leader that God has called us to be. And if you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, leave a review to help us get this conversation in front of more leaders like you, and share it with someone, especially the people in your life right now who might be at a spot where they're considering quitting. Thanks again, and until next time, stay curious and reach for the remarkable.